You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast network.
You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up.
Miami's got the Dolphins, the greatest football team. We take the ball from goal to goal like no one's ever seen. We're in the air.
Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to DolphinsTalk.com Daily. On this Wednesday, April the 7th, we are broadcasting live from the DolphinsTalk.com studios. As always, I am your host, Mike, joined by my wife and my mistress, I guess, my two co-hosts. I don't know how to explain this. Biggie, Ian Berger, and Tom Ernesty.
I'm going to be over here, Mike.
That's a joke, people. It was a joke. Guys, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. You know, I'm excited to be on with you guys. You know, it's been a long break for me just because of all the transitions I'm going through, but I'm so happy to be talking Dolphins again after some time away.
Yeah. And you know me, man, Wednesday nights talking about Miami Dolphins, there's not too much better things we can be doing right now. And I know there's not a lot going on, but still any time that we can talk about Dolphins, I love it. And I know last time, I think for Tom, someone asked, Tom, where's all your Dolphins stuff behind you? And I just want to say, Tom just went through a major move, so he's still trying to figure everything out. So
I'm in a temporary home, an Airbnb, and all my stuff is currently in storage. So I am aching to get to my new place so I can get things set back up because I need to. I'm gonna have a new background instead of this terrible drapery and this stupid ceiling fan above my head. I can't wait to get out of this place.
You'll get there, man. You'll get there.
You'll get there soon enough. Soon enough. So just at the top of the show, I want to thank everyone who is watching us on our YouTube page. If you're not following us on YouTube, go to YouTube and search Dolphins Talk. I want to thank everyone who's watching us on the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page run by the great Carlos Hernandez. And I want to also thank everyone who is now following us and watching us over finhaven.com. We've started a new partnership with the people at finhaven.com. Great people over there. Everyone, if you want to interact on a message board with other Miami Dolphins fans, I know some people, social media can be a little scary at times, and some people just like the old school message board. And if you want to be on an old school message board, finhaven.com is a place to go. So just want to thank everyone over there for this new partnership we have with them, and go check them out for all your Miami Dolphins news and content and just a way to interact with other fans from around the globe. Also, a little bit of housekeeping. We're going to issue a press release on Thursday morning on our website. Check that out. We have a new addition to our website that I think everyone is going to enjoy. Also, Ian, I'm going to let you talk about this because you know all the details. The Miami Dolphins announced they're going to have a draft party, night one of the draft, at awesome. Hard Rock Stadium. Ian, tell everybody about it. And if they're in the South Florida area, how they can go hang out at Hard Rock Stadium.
Yeah, no, it's a free event. And the Miami Dolphins are allowing 5,000 fans to be in attendance. And the plan is going to be that night, I think doors open at 6:30 and then stuff starts happening at 7. They're going to have an event stage. Usually they have Joe Rose emceeing, and they'll bring in some existing players, some older, you know, some veteran players that are no longer with the team. They'll talk about who's expected to be drafted, and they go through this whole thing, and it's just nice. And you get to see other Miami Dolphins fans. That place is packed with Miami Dolphins fans. But I say packed very cautiously because I know that this year, especially by doing this, the Miami Dolphins are going to be very, very careful. I didn't see where they were serving food or drink this time around. So they may be steering away from that so that everyone keeps their masks on while they're there. But they are planning to figure out a way to be able to do social distancing as well. So I'm excited because we really missed this last year. I know everybody was from home, but the year before that was also at Hard Rock Stadium on the outer portion of Hard Rock. Prior year to that, it was actually inside Hard Rock. So this is a great opportunity. Now, here's the other thing. If you can't make it to South Florida, they are going to be streaming the show live on YouTube, but you still have to go to miamidolphins.com, scroll down a little bit, and you can RSVP for the either the actually going to the event or RSVP for live streaming, and they'll be able to get you that click. And I bet you, actually, now that I think about it, I bet you I'll see Travis Wingfield there. I bet you he might be on the stage, so it'll be nice to see that young man.
I got a feeling he might be there. I got a feeling, yeah, there's going to be a lot of fans there because fans of the Dolphins last year, obviously limited fans at all the home games. Now is the world, people getting their shots, people getting a little healthier, people feeling a little more confident to go out in public and be around other people. I think they're going to have a real nice turnout, and we know with the Dolphins and everyone involved with them, it's going to be a top-notch event. Everyone will be safe, and it's going to be fun. And with two picks in round one, and who knows, maybe they trade for a third pick in round one, slide up from the top of round two. Who knows what Miami's going to do, and you're going to be able there to celebrate all the players Miami takes. And if they take guys you don't like, well, you're going to be able to have a feel. I don't know what you're going to be able to do. You can, you know, talk to other fans and share your displeasure. I don't know.
One last thing, Mike, I'm going to be there. So a lot of people get it confused, and they think that I'm going to be in Cleveland. No, I will be. I'll be in Davie, or I'll be actually at Hard Rock on Thursday evening. I don't leave for Cleveland until the second night. So hopefully a lot of Dolphins fans are there. Hopefully I get a chance to say hi to everybody who said, when I'm there, I want to say hello.
You're easy to find. You're a tall guy with that fan of the year jersey. You're going to know Big E's there in the house.
Awesome.
So in other news, the NFL will release the schedule Thursday night, May 13th. It's about 1 month later than normal. Again, understandable because everything with the virus, now teams are going to adjust and where they're playing games and which week. So Thursday night, May 13th at 8 p.m., NFL Network, ESPN, all those outlets will have on the draft release, and we'll know who Miami is playing when. And I do think, guys, there's a chance. Week one, you could see Miami at Tampa Bay on Thursday night to open the year. Wouldn't shock me. Really wouldn't shock me at all. Tom Brady and Tua Tagovailoa, it's a marquee matchup.
I don't know. I'd be surprised if the Dolphins were the opening opponent for the Buccaneers. You know, I would have, you know, you would figure that they would start with either a division rival.
But there's Breeze.
Atlanta's going to be probably better. They may add like Pitts or Chase or somebody to the draft, so they're going to have more firepower. You could see them do the Packers, you know, have a rematch with the Green Bay Packers. Or they could throw the Buffalo Bills in the mix.
Yeah,
you know, the Bills had a very good record last year. Josh Allen's an up-and-coming quarterback. That would be a key matchup. And, you know, Tom Brady has absolutely slaughtered the Bills for the better part of 20 years. So why not give the Bills the first crack at Tom Brady after a Super Bowl?
Absolutely. So first topic we're going to talk about is about what Miami could do at pick six of the draft, more in particular, Penei Sewell. And we've spoken about this a little on previous shows. There's an article in the Miami Herald from Armando Salguero stating, and he even said up front, this could be all smokescreen, or this could be true. Who knows? This time of year, you're not sure. And he laid that out. And he's saying that the Miami Dolphins do have interest in Penei Sewell. What do you want them to say? Of course they're going to say that to throw other teams off. But maybe it's true, too. We don't know. It could actually be true. And there's a good chance, I'd say better than good, that Penei Sewell could be on the board at pick number six, because we've seen a lot of rumors, a lot of reports. Atlanta could go wide receiver, tight end. And we know Cincinnati, you know, everyone thinks they're going to take an offensive tackle, but they could go Chase or Pitts as well. There's a chance. And I've said this on previous podcasts, and I'm just going to lay it out as bluntly as possible. As a fan of this team who's 43 years old, and I've watched them do a lot of dumb things in the draft, my name is Michael Leva, and the views I'm about to express are not necessarily those of anybody else but me, but they ought to be. And as a matter of fact, they probably are. The Miami Dolphins cannot, under any circumstances, take an offensive tackle at pick number six. They took an offensive tackle in round one last year. They took an offensive tackle at the top of round two last year. You have to give those kids time to develop. We have other needs on this team that need to be addressed. We have to start allocating quality resources into other parts of this team. Wide receiver, great. If they even want to go like Micah Parsons, I'd rather have Parsons than Sewell. And I know people say, what are you, nuts? No, because we need to invest in other areas of this team and not keep constantly investing in the offensive line. You know, big money contracts or high draft picks over and over again. It's time to spread out the talent a little bit. And let's give guys like Austin Jackson and let's give guys like Robert Hunt a year at least to sink or swim with a regular offseason, a regular mini camp, a regular training camp, preseason games. They weren't awful last year. Maybe they weren't great, but it was a tough situation for all rookies. They weren't awful. So under no circumstances should we draft Penei Sewell. And I pray to God this is just a smokescreen. Ian, you go.
Well, the Miami Dolphins have been they've been masterful with misdirecting people where they're going to pick, when they're going to pick, who they're going to pick. So I think whatever's being thrown out right now is absolutely the opposite of what the Miami Dolphins are going to be doing. And let's be honest, the draft, when that first night comes around, there's going to be some huge surprises because we're not going to know what some of these other teams are going to do. I always, you know, I continue to say that I think Cincinnati's going to end up taking Sewell. A lot of people are saying, well, no, Joe Burrow's going to be, you know, he's going to be vying for who is it, Chase, right? And I'm like, yeah, but it's going to be hard to throw to Chase if you're not protecting, you know, your number one pick quarterback from last year. So I think Sewell will be gone by the time it comes down to the Miami Dolphins. And that could be partly wishful thinking from my part, because I really do think that the Dolphins will have a choice at one of their pass catching, either receivers or tight end. The news came out this week also that Atlanta is shopping their draft pick, which means they're going to be looking for a quarterback hungry team that could jump up. And again, that can only help the Miami Dolphins because then they'll have more receivers slash tight end to be able to select from. So I still think the Dolphins are pretty set at one of those receiving weapons because that's what Tua needs. And I think we're at a point now because they've gone through two drafts that they don't need to take the best available. They can go with their biggest need. And I think that's, you know, maybe that wasn't the case last year. Maybe that wasn't the case the first year, but now this is the third year draft for Chris Greer. I think he can go with the biggest need. And I agree with you, Mike. I do not want to see that number six pick come with if Sewell's on the board for us to take him. I really don't.
Tom?
Oh, don't get me started. do not, under any circumstance, take a left tackle for a left-handed quarterback. I can't stress that enough. The logistics do not work. You cannot have a pure left tackle protect your left-handed quarterback. You need to get skill players. I've been pounding the table. I was doing it draft time last year. I don't want to bring up too much of last year's draft, but I was pounding the table. Skill players, skill players, skill players. You built the trenches. You have young developing kids. Austin Jackson is only, what, 20? Maybe he just turned 21 years old. Robert Hunt, young. He's 21. You have Solomon Kinley. You drafted in the same draft. You already allocated a ton of resources towards the offensive line. Not to mention the $10 million you're paying Eric Flowers to play left guard and also paying Matt Skura. Yes, it's a small amount of money, and I think they should address center. But at pick six, it's wide receiver, wide receiver, wide receiver. Kyle Pitts, I believe, is a wide receiver more than a tight end. So you take the best guy that falls in your lap. There's the main reason you traded up from 12 back to 6 is to guarantee yourself the opportunity to get one of those 3 or 4 stud guys you were looking at 3. And you picked up an extra first and a third in the process. So you take the best guy there. If it's Ja'Marr Chase, you take Ja'Marr Chase. I want the Dolphins to have a conundrum on draft night to try to figure out what is the best guy. If Atlanta sits at 4 and takes Kyle Pitts, shame on them because they have to get better up front for Matt Ryan. Be perfectly honest. The Bengals, if Penei Sewell is sitting there, they would be the dumbest franchise. Put that in marker. The dumbest franchise.
Do dumb things. I say it all the time. So
Joe Burrow got his ass kicked behind that line of scrimmage last year. They need to protect him. Their offensive line was worse than Miami's. Let's just put it as kind as possible. They were actually worse than Miami's. So Joe Burrow needs help. Penei Sewell's the guy. So if the Dolphins are sitting there at 6, they have the plethora of weapons. Sitting there, you take the best guy. For me, it's Ja'Marr Chase. He's the best guy at 6, in my opinion.
Okay.
I'm not upset if they take Devonta Smith. I'm not upset if they take Jalen Waddle. I'm not upset if they take Jamar Chase or Kyle Pitts. But if you take Penei Sewell at six, Grumpy Tom will be back.
I think it might actually be worse than Grumpy Tom. It might be like
uncontrollable Tom. It might be Tom. Far worse. Mike really have to have enough. Mike is going to have to throw the mute button for how much I'm going to be swearing.
I didn't know we had. Do we have a mute button on here, Mike?
No, I know. But all right, we won't we'll be live, and I'll put up a not safe for work type disclaimer on the show, which I've never
run it on the bottom.
That'd be funny. There's another Miami Herald article. There's a lot of good stuff in the Miami Herald this week. So for those of you who don't subscribe, check it out. It doesn't cost that much. You get a lot of good content from Barry Jackson, who stated after the Miami Dolphins signed center Matt Skira to a one-year, $1.75 million contract, they continue to pursue Patriots center David Andrews for a few days. So even though they already signed a center, they were still trying to go hard for Andrews. And Miami made a strong offer for Andrews, very comparable to what he got from the Patriots. Ultimately, Andrews wanted to stay with the Patriots because since the money was pretty much equal, quality of life, and the fact he was just happy where it was, and there was no real money incentive for him to move. So I guess the question is, if Miami signed Matt Skira and was still looking for other centers, clearly they're looking for a center in this draft and probably early, and I would not be stunned. I think maybe pick 36, pick number 50 is probably where you can find a center. I wouldn't be stunned if they reached on pick 18 and took one, maybe a Creed Humphrey there, because there are, you know, you see some of these mock drafts. Again, mock drafts, take them for what they're worth. He does go end of round one-ish, so maybe Miami takes him at 18 or tries to slide down a little bit and get something, take him there. So center guys, and there's not a lot of high-quality centers in this draft, but there's a couple. There's a couple. Creed Humphrey's the biggest name, the kid from Alabama, Landon Dickerson's another one. There's, I think there's one more whose name slips my head.
Josh Myers is another one.
Yeah, it looks like
Quinn Meniere's.
Yep. Miami's in the market for a center, and they could take one here early in this draft. Tom, what are your thoughts on that?
I'm open to the idea. I think if you can address the skill players in round one, I would love to see Creed Humphrey fall to the Dolphins with their first pick in the second round. You know, he tested off the charts, like from a pure perspective of just the metrics, he tested off the charts. He is the guy. If you want to anchor an offensive line, the center is the anchor, right? He's the one that does everything, gets everybody into the right spots, the right calls, the right audibles. Creed Humphrey would be just masterful drafting by Chris Greer, because now Matt Skura, who is a veteran player, he can push him along. And if you start Creed Humphrey at the beginning of the season, that's not a knock on Matt Skura. Now you got a decent backup at a cheap cost. So I would love Creed Humphrey there, only if they address the skill players in round one. I'll leave it at that. That's all I'm going to say. Ian, you can take it.
We know what you mean.
Yeah, and I've been doing a lot of mock drafts, and I know mock drafts mean absolutely nothing. It's more of the entertainment value for everyone, right?
Yep.
But I've seen really Creed get to the second round in pretty much every one of the mock drafts. And I guess, again, it's all going to depend on what team needs what. I will tell you that when Skura was signed for the Miami Dolphins, I said to myself, he's here to be a backup. He's not really here to be a starter. That was what my thought was, because you need two, right? You need one that's a starter and you need one who's going to really be the backup. So I still, when he was signed, thought the Dolphins going to end up drafting one. Now I wish we can get him in that first pick in the second round if he were still there, but you know, I've heard a lot of good things about Landon Dickerson as well. He's not the best, right? Because
a lot of medical issues. A lot of
right, exactly. But he's viable, and he's probably going to end up playing better than Skura as long as he stays healthy, right? Because he's so young, and because he'll be right out of college. So you know, but right now, through the Pro Football Network, their system, they have Creed Humphrey ranked 28th in their draft. So if he can get to the 30s. You know, and then I think he would be a steal for us. And you know what? That would be ideal. I don't want to see a center at number 18. I really don't.
No, I don't either.
That's too high.
36 or 50 is honestly realistic. And I do think that's a guy who, if Miami takes one at either 36 or 50, probably will start, because Matt Skura, and after the signing, I know I did a show, I forget with who, and I was kind of laughing. He can't snap the ball. I mean, he had issues at the end of last year snapping the ball. What's the center's one job? Snap the ball. Yes, you got to block and all stuff, but the main job is snap the ball. And it's like, we're going to be, you know, if I got to watch the Miami Dolphins next year and every offensive play, I'm going to be shaking like a dog trying to shit out a peach pit if this guy can snap the ball to the quarterback. It's like, oh my God, what's going on? Because that can't be, that has to be like routine. And this guy at the end of last year, it was anything but routine. So yeah. I think center is a viable, and that's one of those spots where if you do find a quality guy in round two, 36 or 50, they're going to have a good chance to start day one. So, I mean, you got to snap the ball to the quarterback. I know someone says up, sit, put up here in our chat, the main job's to block. No, the main job is not to turn it over on the snap, you know, or otherwise there's nothing to block.
That's the first job, right?
Yeah, because there's nothing to block if you're snapping it over the, you know, over someone's head.
For your baseball fans out there, Matt Skura last year had the Chuck Knobloch syndrome.
Yes.
Yeah, the guy could not throw to second base.
Yes.
Or the first base, yeah.
Or first base, yeah. From second base to first, he couldn't do it. And it's just it's all mental thing. It's all mental thing. I mean, the guy gets so many reps in practice, it's just natural. And the fact that it started to get a little haywire for Skura towards the end of last year, that's just mental. So something mentally isn't right. So hopefully he has it fixed. But again, you know,
yeah, because
that's the spot they got to take. They got to upgrade. So
yeah, it absolutely is, and they also need to find a long term answer there because you don't want to go every year signing guys like Ted Karras and this year Matt Skura. You want to find a guy who can actually, you know, land this role and just hold on to it. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah, I think in round two that's a good spot. There's another tidbit that didn't get a lot of fans talking about it in the various social media platforms. I found very interesting in the same article from Barry Jackson that Chan Gailey last year. And I know, Tom, you were not a big fan. Me and Ian, we got a lot of grief last year because we defended Chan more than most. And, you know, he, as the article says, he kind of maximized what the Miami Dolphins offense did last year, finishing 15th in total scoring at 25.3 points a game. It's actually not awful considering what they had. But there were two Miami Dolphins offensive players that told the press off the record that they felt Chan, he didn't adjust quickly enough to moves by the opponent last year. And they believe the switch to the new co-offensive coordinators of Eric Studsville and George Gotsi is going to be helpful in that way. So I can believe that. I mean, Chan's a 70-year-old man, you know, so if he was probably setting his ways a little bit and maybe he was a little slow to make adjustments in game, I could totally buy that. Ian?
Well, you know, I don't want to, it's almost like they're burying him even more now, you know, he's gone. He's, you know, so why even bring him up unless you're trying to give reasons why you individually weren't successful last year at this point, you know, it's like, why even make the comment anymore? You know, it's so, and I think it's very possibly true, to be honest with you. But again, I'd rather kind of talk about where we're going versus the challenges that we had with the offensive coordinator last year. That's just,
and once again, we did average 25.3 points a game. Yeah. So what we had skill position wise, that's not bad.
Yeah.
I know fans don't like to hear that, but sometimes the truth hurts. Tom, you have nothing to add. I know you don't like, not a big Chan Gailey fan. You can let that one sit.
He's not surprised either, I'm sure. Yeah. It's not.
No, I'm honestly not surprised to hear all that. You know, at the end of the day, I think, you know, Chan Gailey took probably about 10 minutes off in the second quarter and came back just after halftime because he couldn't control his bladder.
And now.
Listen. He was brilliant. First drives of the second half. How many times did the Dolphins score touchdowns to begin the second half? It felt like almost every single game it happened. So it doesn't surprise me. I'm still very intrigued to see what happens with the co-coordinators. And I'm hopeful that it works. Hopefully there's no confusion. I'm sure that's going to be a big part of the offseason when they're able to get into the building and start working. I believe that is really the first thing that they're going to start working communication between the coordinators and how they're going to be coordinating with the offensive guys. So that's really the most important thing. And I'm happy that they're going to have a full offseason to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, it's that time in the show again.
Oh, I know what time it is.
Yeah, it's time for Manscaped. Hold it up to the camera, Ian, for those of you watching on our YouTube or our live stream right now.
Nice.
Because, hey, you. Yeah, you. Got Bush? You definitely do if you haven't tried the best products from our sponsor, Manscaped. After using these life-changing products, you're going to want to join a ball sack beauty contest. I'm looking out for you, too, because I have a great offer to save 20% off on all of the Manscaped products using the promo code DolphinsTalk over at manscaped.com. Not only will you save 20% off, you will also get free shipping on all your orders. Because remember, men, when you trim the hedges, the tree stands taller. So everyone needs to go to Manscaped. That one broke up, Ian. Everyone go to manscaped.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk to save 20% and get free shipping. There are so many great items. There's the perfect package. It's a kit with a bunch of their products. And inside the perfect package, you will also find Manscaped's Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant, making sure your balls are smelling majestic before your Tinder date. You'll also find a Crop Reviver Ball Toner, a spray-on testy toner that's designed to make your balls smell irresistible. So everyone,
how are you keeping a straight face right now, Mike? How are you doing this? You're so good. I'm so impressed.
I'm in the zone, as they say. I am in the zone. So I just know
my parents are watching. Hi, Mom and Dad.
Hi, Mr. Burger. Hi, Mrs. Burger. Everyone go to manscaped.com and use the promo code DolphinsTalk. Save 20% on all your orders and get free shipping. That's right, Joy Elizabeth. The tree stands taller when you trim the hedges.
That was Dolphins Robert, but that's okay.
Robert, I'm sorry, Robert. I got the name. Whatever. So everyone go to Manscaped. All right. Moving on. I forgot Ian's parents are watching tonight. The draft. You know, we're a few weeks away. It's all rumor, speculation, but three things we do know. Pick number one is going to be a quarterback. Pick number two is going to be a quarterback. Pick number three is going to be a quarterback. What we don't know is what Atlanta will do at pick number four. There was an Adam Schefter tweet. Let me see if I can call it up here real quick. That said from Tuesday, with teams locked into the first three overall picks, the Atlanta Falcons have now received trade calls from multiple teams and are opening to moving out of the number four spot. So if you're the Dolphins, I don't think the Panthers, if they traded for Sam Darnold, traded up. But the Broncos absolutely could. Maybe a team like the Patriots make a big move, part with a lot of picks. They look to move up. It's possible. We don't know who's looking to move up, but there could be a quarterback needy team looking to move up into pick four, which would only help the Dolphins if they take a quarterback. Ian, what do you think might happen here with Atlanta?
I think Atlanta is going to end up trading the pick. I think they are going to try and get some additional capital for next year. So I think that's partly me being very optimistic for the Dolphins, but also just after this report came out, and I think the report came out on purpose because I think they want to let other teams also know that, hey, we're open for business. We're willing to go down at the right price. So I love it. I love the, you know, I thought we were stuck. I thought Atlanta was definitely going to take a receiving threat. And then, of course, you've got Cincinnati, as you mentioned, Mike, that might make a dumb move. And they might take a receiving threat as well. And then Miami has only two to select from, which again, two, even those two that they would ultimately select from, I think are still okay. Sure. I think they're just not the best of the group, right? Because I think we all have talked about Pitts being one of the best. And what was the other, the second Chase. One? Chase. Yeah, my mind just went blank. So anyway, I think they trade. And then I think we're going to have our choice of either three or four of the pass catching threats.
Tom?
Atlanta is really where the draft starts. You know, like you said, the first three picks are going to be quarterbacks. That's not even up for debate at this point. Both the Jets tipped their hand with obviously the Sam Darnold trade. And, you know, the 49ers clearly stated that we don't move up nine spots to take anything other than a quarterback. So that the draft starts at 4, and it's up to Atlanta really to dictate what's going to end up happening with the Dolphins, right? So Atlanta, personally, I think what they really need to do is take Penei Sewell or Rashawn Slater, whatever direction they want to take. I think they still have to go long-term with the thought process, whether it's taking quarterback now or waiting until maybe round 2 or 3 or 4 and just chart, maybe develop someone like a Kyle Trask or something like that behind Matt Ryan. But long-term, offensive line, and if you can get a left tackle, as we know as fans of the Dolphins, getting left tackles is difficult to protect your quarterback. Thank God we had one in Richmond Webb for so many years protecting Dan Marino's blind side towards the tail end of his career. And I hope that's the direction they go, because that just gives the Dolphins, 3 out of the 4 or 4 out of the 4 guys that they were looking at 3 fall. And then they could look at maybe trading back again, so that's the best case scenario. If the Falcons take a quarterback, then all bets are off. They have the pick of the litter at 6 of who they want to get for this team. Obviously, skill player is what it's going to be. But if you have the choice between Pitts, Chase, Smith, and Waddle all at 6.
It's the best case.
It's the best case scenario, and yeah. I'm still in firm belief that is the core reason why they traded back up.
Yeah, absolutely. I do too. I think they knew they had to get one of those 4, and they're probably happy. They probably have them ranked. Of course they have them ranked. They have them ranked in order, and they probably have their preference, but they have to be happy with at least the first 3, knowing 2 could be gone. Worst case scenario. Best case, they have the pick of the litter. I think it's interesting. Here's what we got to know about Atlanta. There was a report out. I forget who was a national guy, someone well-respected, Breer, someone of that level. I forget who it was, who said there's a divide with the team. You have the ownership wants a quarterback because they're thinking big picture, and the new head coach is more in line with get someone to put with Matt Ryan and let's go. So there's that divide. Also, the new head coach for the Falcons, he was an offensive coordinator for the Titans. Prior to that, was a tight ends coach. So, he's probably looking at Pitts and like, guys, I want to pick. Yeah, exactly. Salivating. So that's something to keep in mind. If the Falcons, I don't know, if they take a quarterback and say it goes, because I think this is out. 1 and 2, we know Lawrence and Wilson. 3, I think it's either Mac Jones or Fields. If San Francisco is so dumb to take Mac Jones at 3, then I don't know how Atlanta passes on either Fields or Lance. I think they have.
You can't. You can't.
Because they're never going to be this high again, probably, or you hope not, at least. You can't go in with a mindset, we're going to be picking at the top of the draft next year. No team does that. They all think they're going to win games and be picking lower. Of course, you have to think that way. So this might be their last good chance to be at the top of the draft to get a quarterback to start to get ready behind Matt Ryan. And that's going to be their internal debate. I don't know. Nobody knows. And that's going to be interesting to see. And that was Cincinnati. In my last mock draft, I had him taking Penei. So once again, my mock draft means absolutely nothing. I understand that. I do think when push comes to shove, someone in that room has to stand up and be the adult and say, guys, what are we doing? What I mean? Yep. Now, the two things about those two teams, though, Atlanta has invested a lot of early round picks in offensive line recently. Mind you, not with this head coach, not with this GM, but that's a lot of capital they've invested early rounds. Cincinnati did sign Reef. They took a first round offensive tackle in 2019. Could they wait to pick 38 to go offensive line? We've had that debate before. Possible. And I will say this too, and then we'll move on to the name game. I hear a lot of Miami Dolphins fans saying, not a lot. I hear a few. Because I think most Dolphins fans are okay with Pitts because Pitts is so dang good. And I'm right there. If Pitts falls and they take him over Chase, say they have the pick of the litter and they take Pitts over the wide receivers, thumbs up. Where's the camera? Thumbs up. I'm all for it. But – if you're a Dolphins fan who says, well, don't draft Pitts because we already have a good tight end. You know what? Now you got 2. Okay? Now you got 2 good ones. So don't think that way. It's about getting the best player available. And if they have Pitts ranked higher than someone like Chase or Waddle or Smith, go for it. Because having 2 high-quality tight ends or having 1 high-quality and 1 very good tight end or however you want to rank them, we've seen teams win a lot of games that way.
Yep. You're right. Yeah. All right. It's going to be interesting to see what they decide.
Yeah. I mean, there's no wrong answer there at 6. So whether they get, whoever they get, there's no bad pick. So I think Miami fans have to come to that, have to come to terms with that, that they're going to be okay. So now it's time for the name game. I didn't preload these, so we're going to do this on the fly. Okay, Ian. As everyone knows, Ian Berger is going to be at the NFL draft. He's going to be there the Friday and the Saturday, but on the Saturday, around 4 through 7, he will be announcing some picks the Miami Dolphins make. And last week we started this to get Ian ready to announce, you know, some names. If he gets Joe Smith, great. If Ian gets, you know, Thomas Lane, great. But you might get a name from somebody that's more unique, more cultural, more heritage, that might not be the easiest to pronounce. And we've all been there, whether you meet someone in person, on the phone, at a store, you see a name, it's like, God, I mean, I don't know how to pronounce that. So on the fly, Ian's going to have to be ready. Now, he did outstanding last week, Tom.
Thank you.
He killed it. And I thought I had some tough ones, and he killed it. Now,
And before we get started, too, I have to mention that this is a genuine concern by the other fans of the years.
Oh, I'm sure.
We have a Facebook page group just for the fan of the NFL fans of the year that are all going to be doing that. They're up there doing the exact same thing that I'll be doing. And they are, so for a couple of reasons, they say they want to get it right for the respect of the individual, right? Because they've worked their entire life
for
that exact moment. And they want to make sure that they get it right. So, you know, that's why they're practicing. I actually showed the clip from us last week, and I think they appreciated it. But obviously, too, they saw the kind of the fun in it, so that we're kind of having fun.
We're not making fun of nobody's names. It's just all lighthearted. We're having fun. And I will say this for you and the rest of the fans of the year. Tell them this. Rest their fears. I have searched every – I don't want to say every name because I'm sure there's some guys I missed. I've searched a lot of names. There's not a lot of what I would call oddball names this year. There's not a lot. I've had to search hard for these. I've had to bring in help from our in-house draft guru, Dante Colonnelli. He helped me find a couple of these. And I got enough for this week. I had about five for this week. We got about four or five for next week. And then we're done, because there's really not a lot. And some of the ones that I have this week, one of the names might be like a Tom or a Josh, but the last name might be a little bit off the wall.
Joy is saying that you've had some help. So it's going to be interesting.
Yeah. Now, Ian, if you do great tonight, we might not even have to do this next week because you're going to be so good. So I don't know, but let's start here.
All right, hold on. So tell me when you're ready, and then I'll go through the thing. And also, to a reminder of everybody who's watching, you know, definitely please rate me, right? 10 being the absolute best.
You're the judge tonight. You got to give them the thumbs up, or you give them the thumbs down on how we did.
So okay. 10 for the best, 1 for the worst if you're watching from home.
1 to 10 in the chat. And Tom's a thumbs up, thumbs down. He's the arbitrator tonight.
Okay. Tell me when you're ready, and I'll start.
This guy is supposed to go around 2 to 3, but, you know, he could fall. Things fall. So
hold on. So I'm going to say it, right?
You go ahead and I'll hit the button.
Okay. Ready? So with the 157th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select.
Oh, hold on.
Ifeatu Melifonwu. Cornerback out of Syracuse.
Okay, you're close. It is Ifeatu Melifonwu. So you're close.
Ah. You're
closer on the second name than the first name.
The thumbs are tilting up, Ian.
I'm waiting for everybody to grade me at home, too. So, look at that. I got a 10 from Dolphins Robert. He's my buddy anyway. He's always going to give me a 10. And Joy Elizabeth, she's being honest with an 8. So I appreciate that, guys.
Yeah, that was good. That was good. Not going to knock you there.
I mean, half. I didn't realize we were doing half points.
No, I didn't realize we were doing
half points. Well, I mean, I gave you half thumbs up. So.
I saw. Oh, that's right. That's good.
Okay, right, this one.
Tell me when it's loaded, and I'll start doing my
thing. Give me one second here.
Okay.
I didn't preload these this week, so my bad. Bad job by me.
It's okay.
Okay, this one might be a little bit easier.
D gave me a 5. Gave me a 5. That's my critical friend, D.
He's a Russian judge. Always
Karen gave me an 8. Karen, I love Karen.
Okay, whenever you're ready.
All right, ready? So with the 250th pick in the 2021 NFL draft, the Miami Dolphins select Simi Fehoko, wide receiver out of Stanford.
Yeah, that was probably the easiest one that I had today. So that's a 10, clearly a 10.
2 thumbs up.
Yep, that's a good one.
You know, because it's the eyes, though, because sometimes you can kind of mess up with the eyes. I'm interested to know. Hold on. I need to know who D, because D is the critical one. So D, how did I do? You gotta type that in too. Everybody's giving me tens. Thank you guys. Thank you so much.
That was a good one. All right. Here's the next one. And this one I would qualify as a tricky one.
Okay.
So hold on. I gotta get this one down.
Tell me when you're ready and I am ready. Okay.
Drum roll.
D gave me a 9, by the way. I feel a lot better now. Thank you. Perfect. Thanks, D. Oh, Jack gave me 11.
11? 1 to 10, guys. Come on.
Hey, I did really well.
Anytime.
Okay, so with the 250th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Wop Fillior, wide receiver out of Indiana.
Ian, you're killing this again. I thought that was trickier. Once again, I might be really bad at this. I don't know. That's right on. Right on. You nailed it. That's a 10.
Well, I mean, I love Whoppers and WHOP. That's and I'm not making fun of his name. I'm just saying I sounded it out.
Yeah, right? Look, we're not making fun of nobody's name. Some of these names here are just, you know, not your ordinary names. That's all we're saying. Yeah, that one. I don't know. Man, Ian, you have nothing to worry about. If all the names we did last week, the names we're doing tonight, and the names we'll probably do next week, if you're going to do great on them, I mean, really, I think you're going to be fine. All right, next one. I got two more.
Okay, all right, ready? And thank you for doing this. But this helps me because if I see them, I'm going to be like, I practice this name.
We can only do so many mock drafts. After a while, we're just repeating ourselves. We got to mix it up. We got to bring the entertainment here to the podcast world. There's only so many times we can talk about pick 6 and pick 18 before people just get bored, okay?
Yeah. All right, ready?
Okay, you go.
With the 250th pick in the 2021 NFL Draft, the Miami Dolphins select Diamador Lenoir, cornerback, Oregon.
I think this is probably your worst one so far. And it's not awful, but it's Diamador Lenoir.
So it's Lenoir, not Lenoir.
Yeah.
Okay. I like Lenoir though. That you could definitely see that as a French last name. And I accentuated that.
I had to research this on YouTube to hear 50 announcers of bad games from the Pac-12 say his name. So I know I got it right.
Can you repeat it one more time, Mike? The correct pronunciation?
Diamador Lenoir.
Okay.
Yeah. Can I watch a bunch of? Yeah, because finding a name, I'm like, okay, this one, not ordinary, not crazy hard maybe. But then I went to search how it's actually said, and I go, oh, it's a little bit tricky. It's not, you know, it's not how it looks. So that's why I threw that one in there. Yeah, so we got one more. And I will say the first name on this one is super simple. But the last name, once again, not making fun of anybody, kind of looks like an eye chart. If you get this, God bless you, because I saw this name, and I had no clue how this was said.
I just need to make a comment before we do this. Yeah. People give me like 3s, 4s, and 5s. I didn't think I was that bad, but okay.
No, that wasn't that bad. That was maybe a 6, that last one. And that's okay. your worst one in two weeks. Okay.
I appreciate everybody's comments, though. It's all good.
I mean, that's his worst one in 2 weeks. He's killed me on this. He's done amazing.
He may have felt pressure since I'm on the screen now. So
yeah, it's okay. Yeah, that thumb in the middle thing, you get putting pressure on going like this.
All right. Ready? So last one.
Yeah.
All right. With the 250th pick in the NFL draft for 2021, the Miami Dolphins select Josh Imatorbebe, wide receiver, Illinois.
Okay. This one you kind of struggled on. Josh, obviously, and if there's any fans of, let's just say, NXT, because this is exactly how it's said, Imatorbebe.
Wow.
Adam Cole. Adam Cole's favorite player. Imatorbebe is how it's said.
Imatorbebe. That's
it. Once again, wow. A bunch of highlights of Illinois games from the Big Ten Network. Heard multiple announcers, and that's how it is. Imatorbebe.
Dolphins need to trade back into the 7th round just to take him.
Well, he's actually
– I love the name.
I love the name, too, and I've seen some things. I guess – he might be like rounds 3 or 4. I think I've seen a few. I'm going to be honest. I never heard of him until this.
I didn't get half for the first name. They just beat me up. That's awkward.
That's a tough one. Like obviously Josh is easy one, but I saw the last name and I'm like, good God almighty. And I started doing research and I'm like that. I didn't get Imatorbebe. And there is an emphasis on the Bebe when I saw that spelled out like that. So that was, So I stumped you a little better this week.
You did. You filled him better. You know what? And that's good to know, because if you end up taking him later on.
Hey, you never know. You never know. But that is a, yeah, so I did better this week. I got a few more for next week. We'll see how it goes. But this Ian, really, you have nothing to worry about. You've been.
Yeah, you're doing great, Ian.
You're doing great. And honestly, the NFL's got to have a guy there who's going to, like, fit, you know, at least have it phonetically spelled out in some way, shape, or form. I mean, I would think there has to be. Still, you're seeing names. And, you know, wide receiver, we know they might take more than one Miami. Cornerback, we know our head coach loves cornerbacks. He could take one at any time. These are some of the names here. And, you know, we got to get Ian ready, because the draft will be here before you know it. And Ian will be in Cleveland, Ohio. Beautiful city, actually, as I've said. I know people like to make fun of it. It's really not that bad. So, Ian, why don't you talk about a little bit here at the end of the show, the amazing job you did and an amazing representation of our website, but really you did the work, and you really put in all the time, raising over $10,000, $10,000 for the Dolphins Cancer Challenge, or I guess they change it now to the Dolphins Challenge Cancer, which will be coming up here, what, April 15th, I believe, somewhere around there.
It's in 2 days on Saturday.
Oh, it is in 2 days. I'm wrong. I'm sorry. It's the 9th. Talk about, I mean, just first off, you're going to say it, I know, but thank you to everyone who gave a few bucks to Ian, because that's an incredible amount of money.
Yeah, I continue to be overwhelmed that this was even possible, guys, because I've never raised funds in my life. I've always written a check and said, I'm going to walk this walkathon, and I'm paying this money to, that's my entry fee. And because I never felt comfortable asking someone, but this wasn't even asking. I just simply said, here's the situation. Here's what I'm doing to represent, you know, everyone who has had this type of experience before. And people were just generous, and they just kept adding, and they kept donating. And I mean, really, $10,000 in 1 week, in 7 days, for raising funds is really just unbelievable. And I'm very proud to be able to represent all 210 donors that made the donations to the cause. So again, I can't thank everyone enough for being part of it. Very, very proud to be able to walk on Saturday. I'll definitely be walking with my chin real high to say, you know, we did this. I know you said it was me. It's not me. It's everybody. It's everyone. I was just writing them down in the Twitter, and people continue to donate. So thank you guys so much. From the bottom of my heart, I just can't say thank you enough.
Yeah, because Tom and myself have been lucky enough, like I've said on previous shows, and I don't want to sound like a broken record. We've been down there the weeks where they hand over the money to the people at Sylvester, who at the Cancer Center, and it's very emotional. And this money really does go to – it helps people – in real world issues. We can have a few laughs here on a podcast every week talking about a football game. It's really, at the end of the day, we're talking about football. It's not that serious. Yes, we might get worked up, and Tom might get emotional if we don't take a running back. But at the end of the day, there are more important things in life. We all know that. And this is one of those more important things in life. Yeah. And we can help people, you know, people who are just dealt a bad hand. They did nothing wrong. They were just got unlucky and got this horrible disease. And $10,000 is going to help a lot of people on top of all the other money they're raising with the Miami Dolphins Foundation, the Miami Dolphins Challenge Cancer, and everything that they do down there. It is amazing, and so happy that you were able to raise that kind of money, Ian, because it's it's a good thing. And in a world where there's not a lot of, you know, at times it gets crazy, people fighting over this, fighting over that, the virus, people fighting about every little thing that's not important. This is important, and it's a positive thing, which it's great. It's awesome. Tom, anything to add?
No, thank you everyone who donated to Ian and his cause for doing it. And, you know, it's such a great feeling that there's so many great people in the world that are donating to a great cause. Like the Dolphins Challenge Cancer. And, you know, Mike, you mentioned that we were there. It's, you know, it's an emotional feeling, you know, seeing the family's expressions of the research that they're going to be able to do at Sylvester to provide for these folks that are struggling with a terrible disease. And, you know, just being there on the field and just seeing the emotion, you get emotional yourself, because it's a real world thing. It's so tough to lose loved ones, and, you know, and to see loved ones struggle with this terrible thing. And, you know, it's such a great honor to, you know, to be a part of, you know, not formally a part of, but being a fan of this team and what they do for the community, whether it's Sylvester, whether it's like the food drives and everything else they do at South Florida. You know, I couldn't be prouder to be a Miami Dolphins fan. And, you know, Ian, get that 5K, man, and get it done, buddy. And we'll be rooting for you and everybody else that is doing that for a cause.
Yeah, thanks, man. Cool. And one last thing too, and I'm not, we far exceeded our goal already, but if anybody is still interested in supporting the event and they want to support me for the event, they can go to my Twitter or they can go directly to Dolphins Challenge Cancer website, and you'll see that I am on there, and you just click on donate and you can be part of that. So,
yeah,
you know, if you want to be part of it, you still can. It's definitely for a great cause.
Yeah. No greater than this. Absolutely. So, another show in the books as we inch closer to the 2021 NFL draft. Let's get through some plugs. Everyone, be sure to follow Ian Berger on Twitter at Ian693. Follow him on YouTube. Go to his YouTube page. Go to YouTube, search Big E, Miami Dolphins. Get the other Big E. You'll get a lot of stuff for WrestleMania. That's not him. especially this week. Tom Hernacy, go follow him on Twitter at Dolphins Talk Tom. And if you want to follow me, obviously follow me at Dolphins Talk. Make sure you are subscribed to our YouTube page. Go to YouTube and search Dolphins Talk. We have a new show. We've added to our YouTube page that is YouTube exclusive, hosted by Bobby Melendez, called Fins Up Today or something. I honestly forgot the name right now. Slipped my mind. I know it's Fins Up Today.
It's so exclusive. You forgot the name of it.
He's already done 2 episodes. I'll have the name right next week. But go to our YouTube page and search Dolphins Talk and subscribe. As I said at the top of the show, big press release going out Thursday morning with an announcement about our website. Be sure to, and once again, finhaven.com. If you want to interact with other Miami Dolphins fans, but maybe you're not on social media. Social media kind of scares you. I get it. People can sometimes be mean and stuff on social media. You can go to Finhaven at Old School Message Board and interact with tons of Miami Dolphins fans there. Great people in charge who run the place. So go check out finhaven.com. And as always, dolphinstalk.com. For all the latest Miami Dolphins news, rumors, information, podcasts, videos, whatever you need, we got it. We'll get you ready for the 2021 NFL draft, and we'll have more podcasts coming up. I know there's another same old Dolphin show, I think, dropping Friday with Josh and Aaron the Brain, with some special guests that everyone's going to want to see. And we just got everything. Guys, we got so much happening right now on our website. Traffic's at an all-time high. Podcasts are at an all-time high. We continue to grow, and thank you to everyone who watches these shows, interacts with us on social media, and supports our website, because it really is great. We really do appreciate all you guys, because we do this because of you, really, because if nobody was watching, we wouldn't be spending a Wednesday night here for an hour talking.
I'm just in front of a mirror, Mike.
Exactly. Exactly. But people enjoy it, and we do have our following is growing, and it's quite large right now. So thank you to everyone who supports us.
Awesome.
So, everyone, have a great rest of your Wednesday night. Have a great Thursday, and we'll talk to you again after a while.
Fins up.
Fins up, everybody. Good night.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.